Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spider. So first off, apologize for the day delay. I'm going to be completely honest. We watched the big UFC event on Saturday night, and there might have been a lot of cheering and screaming. And my voice was completely shot on Sunday morning. So I did all the notes for this, went to go record it, and I'm like, this just isn't in the cards. I don't feel like struggling through it. As you can probably hear, my voice isn't 100%, but I didn't want to leave people waiting any longer. So before we get into today's topic, I do want to shout out to Chris. Chris emailed me. He's a high school, was a high school biology teacher in Clinton, Connecticut, which is my home state. He switched to an administrator. And the only reason I'm doing this is because Chris has emailed me a couple times. I was excited to hear from somebody in the state who was also in education, and apparently he's not getting my emails. So I'm going to throw this out there. If you've emailed me, I'm usually pretty good. I'll say pretty good. I've gotten behind in the, you know, a couple times in the past on emails and stuff. But usually I hop on stuff pretty quickly, and I've been noticing a lot of folks haven't gotten back to me on things. Like, I've left questions and like, hey, well, what about this? Or can you send me some pictures? And I don't hear back. So I have a funny feeling that my emails end up in bulk. So always check the bulks if you contact me to make sure I'm not there. I'm not sure what's going on. I've had this happen a couple times in the past. But anyway, Chris, it was great to hear from you, great to hear from a fellow educator. And Chris asked if I knew any place in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, because obviously we can't buy tarantulas in Connecticut at expos and pet stores. And unfortunately, the pet store he referenced was one that Billy and I went to. It might have been 12 years ago, so I don't remember what the heck it was. They were awesome, but there's Jabberwock Reptiles in Massachusetts, a little further away from Connecticut than the one I originally went to. That has a great reputation. I purchased from Caleb before, who's the one that does the tarantulas there. He was fantastic. So I would definitely encourage you to check those guys out. It would probably be worth a field trip. And sorry we couldn't connect. Very, very frustrating because I was really excited to chat. But hopefully you'll hear this. I did respond back. I even went to an older email address that has nothing to do with the Tom's Big Spider stuff, a Google one, a Gmail one, and tried to contact through there. Nothing. So anyway, we're putting it right out here. So moving on, the topic today is the importance of establishing routines with growing tarantula collections. One of the big questions I get from a lot of folks that are into tarantulas, and of course folks that are not into tarantulas that find out how many spiders I got, is how do you manage to make sure that you can keep track of them all? How do you make sure that you take care of them all properly? And how do you know when you're getting too many and reaching your threshold? And I did several years ago, I covered the topic of, you know, how to recognize when you're starting to get too many and some things to avoid. So I'm not going to go into that realm. We're going to kind of focus more on just what I do and what I try to encourage folks to do when they start getting into the hobby. And I think anybody that has started the hobby or is, you know, listening to this right now is obviously interested in tarantulas. You probably picked up a few. You're going to realize, if you haven't already, you're going to realize very, very quickly why it's so easy to get into a lot of trouble with these guys. And by a lot of trouble, I mean get to the point where you're getting too many too fast, and suddenly you have a collection that is becoming unwieldy, that is becoming stressful. And that's a terrible situation to have when working with animals. Because obviously, if you're collecting something inanimate and you start getting too many of it, you throw them on eBay, you pack them away, you stack them, whatever it may be, you put them in bins and stick them in the attic. A million different ways to remedy the situation, and nothing's going to die, nothing's going to lose its life or suffer. However, with animals, it's a totally different ballgame. And this is one that, you know, I think some people find them. I want to get frustrated. Sometimes I do get frustrated because sometimes people are warned, and sometimes they're doing it for the wrong reasons or amassing these collections. And that's when it frustrates me. But I do get, and I think I can appreciate, the person that gets into the hobby, a year goes by, and all of a sudden they're like, oh dear, what did I do? Because it's very, very easy to get in this situation. So why is it so easy to find yourself in over your head with your tarantula collection? Well, I think they're kind of a victim of the fact that they are so easy to care for. I've said before that as far as pets are concerned, tarantulas are some of the easiest animals you could ever possibly care for. Now, ironically, I think when people first get into the hobby, this works against them. This causes issues where people, they're used to keeping the other pets that require more care. And they get into tarantulas, and we've talked about the over-caring form, where they're doing too much because they can't wrap their minds around initially. They really don't need all that much interaction, all that much care. And I think that's when we lead to situations where people are doing too much and thinking too much about it, and they put their tarantulas in jeopardy. Well, then I think what happens is we start to realize very quickly, wow, these are super easy to care for. They don't require a lot of work. And then I think we kind of go the other way. It leads us to have this false sense of security and that we can pick up as many of these as we want and it's going to be really easy to take care of them. Well, that's not necessarily the case. So why are they so easy to care for? Well, how many other animals can you feed once a month and not have to worry about? That's unheard of. How many can you get away with? And I'm not saying to do this. I want to make it very clear. I don't agree with this, but people do. How many can you get away with not giving fresh water all the time? There are a lot of folks out there still that feel like that they don't need to give their tarantulas water dish. They don't need to keep those tarantula water dishes full. And therefore, their spiders are still surviving and they don't require that extra measure of care. How many rarely require more than a spot cleaning in their cages for sometimes years on end? I have spiders that have been in the same enclosures for years. I scrape off the top layer, sometimes add a little extra dirt. I pull out boluses and such, anything that has mold on it or anything that looks a little sketchy, I'll pull out. But it's very easy to do. It takes a matter of a minute sometimes just to clean these things up. And how many animals can you have that you can go on vacation for a week or two and not have to worry about them? And then add to that the fact that they take up so little space. You can house them in a myriad of enclosures, some of which are quite inexpensive. So again, it's not a particularly expensive hobby. Obviously, the animals themselves, the tarantulas themselves, can cost some money, especially if you start going after some of the more sought-after ones. But they're pretty reasonably priced overall. And then the materials you need to set them up correctly, you can use some Sterilite and some topsoil for a couple bucks. So it's very, very easy to start the hobby with a handful and find yourself soon with a pretty decent sized collection. That's kind of what happened to me. I've shared the story many, many times where when I first started doing research, I turned around to Billy and I go, I could honestly see myself having, 30 of these guys. And right now I think I'm around 250 spiders between just tarantulas and other types of spiders, the trapdoor spiders. I still have a few of the huntsmen left that haven't passed from old age. So I have a rather large collection. And again, I've had so many people, both collectors and non-collectors alike, ask, how do you care for them all? Because initially I think in their minds, they're thinking about the more traditional pets they have kept, like dogs, cats, gerbils, ferrets, fish, etc., that require daily feeding, water, walks, handling, all that stuff. But they're not. They're easy to care for. But however, I think this is the fact that leads people into amassing these large collections quickly. I hear from a lot of hobbyists and have heard from a lot of hobbyists over the course of the years that have dived right into the deep end and have found themselves in little time at all amassing very large collections of spiders. And sometimes it goes well. Sometimes people realize about how many they can keep. They're prudent about it. They've done their research. That always is imperative. The one thing that drives me nuts is people that they're asking me these very elementary questions right off the bat. And then I get another email. I just picked up 8 more. And it's like, why don't we try to figure out the basic husbandry before we, buy 30 or 40 of these? But I get how it happens. Next thing you go from 10, 20, 30. I've had somebody contact me recently that went to 100 in a year. I think that's a little dangerous only because the fact that in a year you haven't really develop all those skills you're going to need to keep them. And that's a lot of spiders. To go from a handful to 100 is a lot of spiders, but it happens more than you think. And then what sometimes happens is I get emails from people. They're like, hey, I've had a bunch of mysterious deaths in my collection. I don't know what's going on. And a lot of times when I dig more deeply, I find out that this is an individual that has only been collecting tarantulas for maybe 6 months and they have 50, 60, 100. And what happens is they pick up these spiders. Things are going well. They get a couple slings, and we've all joked about the fact you get a couple slings, you're feeding them. You're usually at that point, you're overfeeding them because you're enjoying feeding your new pets. They go into pre-molt and they're like, now what do I do? I'm staring at a bunch of vials of dirt or a bunch of containers of dirt on my shelf. I'll get a couple more. This is what I did. I started with a couple. They went into pre-molt. I'm getting a couple more. All four of them went into pre-molt. I got some more. That's kind of how it grows. And I think for some people, there's no big deal. You adjust, you figure it out. That's fine. For others, they get in a situation where their collection has become unwieldy. You start off, we all start off, we have that one little shelf that has a couple of these little cages on. Maybe we have one adult. I mean, I know I started with the queen. I had a couple slings. I had a couple more slings. And then next thing you know, there are dozens of them. You're adding more shelves. You're buying more shelving unit. You're spending less time with each. And I think that's something that a lot of us notice right off the bat. When you first get into the hobby, you're in there. I remember going in there all the time with my flashlight. Look at the slings out. Look at the slings eating. Look at the slings burrowing. Look at the slings webbing. fascinated, the more you get, the less time you spend with each. So when the numbers start going up, it's crucial that the keeper start developing his or her routines. This is going to be how you keep yourself in check, how you monitor the stress level of the hobby. I mean, I see it as when you have a hobby like this, this should be taking away your stress. This should be something you do to alleviate your stress after a work week. You don't come home to become more stressed. Oh God, I have all these spiders to feed. I got this one to clean. I got this one to rehouse. It should be, man, I had a terrible day at work. I'm going to feed some spiders. I'm going to relax and rehouse some spiders. Although obviously rehousings can be a little bit stressful for a lot of us. I love rehousings. It's one of my favorite things to do. You get to interact with the spider a little bit. You get to put them in their new digs. You get to watch them settle in. It's a lot of fun. So when talking about routines, what should you be considering when you create a routine? Now, I'll have some people, I think for some people, you just kind of fall into it. You just kind of, this is my routine. But I do think it's something that we should be putting a little time and effort into considering before we get a super huge collection. And I will explain why. Now, the first thing you want to consider with your routine is your feeding schedule. This is something I obviously just did a whole podcast on feeding schedules. I've done a couple on feeding schedules. I've changed mine over the years. I'm hoping that by doing those, I'm going to help some folks out and prevent some of the issues that I had early on. And I'll explain why in a moment. But I think when you start off, you have to come up, what is your feeding schedule going to be? That's going to kind of dictate the rest of this stuff on here. Because as I mentioned, I think a lot of us come up with these more aggressive feeding schedules because we're trying to work in the other stuff that we have to do with feeding. It makes sense. You kill two or three birds with one stone. I'm feeding them. So at that time, I'm going to also add moisture. That's something you need to pay attention to when you're coming up with schedules. And remember that sometimes people pick them up in the summer where it's more humid, things aren't evaporating as quickly, and they don't have to pay as much attention to moisture. But once the winter comes, the heat kicks on, the air dries out, suddenly those sling enclosures that you had that were holding moisture for a couple months are drying out in a couple weeks. That's something to be careful of. So adding moisture, filling water dishes, making sure the substrate is adequately moistened is something that also has to be worked in there. Spot cleaning, that needs to be worked in. When you go in and you grab your little tweezers or your little tongs and you pull out any boluses, if you see something molding in the side, sometimes they leave a little bolus we miss and it gets a little moldy, you're going to kind of scoop that out. Again, this is stuff that if you do it with each feeding, doesn't take all that long at all. So those are things, rehousings, that's something. Now, obviously you can't schedule rehousings, but you got to recognize that rehousings are something that's going to have to be done. You're going to have to pay attention to that. You're going to want to keep track of your molts because that's going to dictate when you feed them again and they dictate when you rehouse. So for a lot of people, they don't give a lot of thought to this before they start getting a larger collection. What happens is you're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. At first, you spend as much time as you can with your animals, but as you start getting more and more and more, you start realizing that things are slipping. So I think this is why it's important to decide right off the bat, what is your standard of care going to be for these animals? What do you want to provide for them? How do you want to provide it? And then determine how much time you're willing to take daily, weekly, or monthly to achieve that level of care that you've set. So this means, are you feeding? A lot of folks like to feed their slings more often. How often are you going to be feeding them? How long is that going to take with the number you have? How often are you going to be feeding your adults? How often are you going to go up there and just like I do sometimes whole weeks where I just go around the entire room filling all water dishes and everything else? Figure out what your standard of care is going to be. If you're following my stuff, I think I've made it clear what my standard of care is, what I like to do, but figure out what's going to work for you. And then you want to figure out how much time do I want to devote to this? How much of my time a day, how much of my time a week am I going to devote to this hobby? How much time am I comfortable putting forward? How much time do I have available? I think that's important. I think some people pick up so many so quickly that they don't bother doing any of this. And for those people, their involvement in the hobby and their collections are growing at such a fast pace that they don't take the opportunity to sit down and say, eventually, inevitably, how much time am I looking to put into this? And that's when it starts to become a big problem. I can share that there was a period several years back when I had my collection was growing. It was pretty big, but I had a good care routine down. I would every night come in, do a little work with feed some of them, water them, do the boluses, everything, work my way around the room. And then I picked up a bunch of slings in a very short period. I think it was like 2 to 3 dozen. dozen slings almost in a couple months. And this new batch of animals really added a lot of time to my care routine and initially caused a lot of stress because I, as you know, I like to get my animals out of the sling stage as quickly as possible. So at that point, I was feeding most of my slings two, sometimes three times a week to get them out of that stage. And suddenly I just added upwards of 30 new slings to that collection. And it was really starting to wear me. This was the first time, and luckily the last time, that I felt like my collection was at the precipice of becoming unwieldy and a source of stress. Instead of coming home from work after a long day and being like, oh, good, I get to spend some time with the spiders and feed some spiders, it was, oh, God, I got to get through these. I got to feed these slings. Did I feed these slings already? Oh, man, I got to remember to feed the adults. It was becoming stressful. So believe me, when I'm talking about this today, it's something that I did experience myself. Now, I was lucky that when this all started happening, it was toward the end of the school year. So pretty soon I had summer where I had all the time in the world to take care of them. And during that period, a lot of them grew out of their sling stage quickly because there were some faster growing ones. They were juveniles. I cut down the feeding. By the time I went back to school, everything had leveled out. But at that point, I realized, A, I was never getting that many slings in one, you know, in a short period again. And B, it made me sit down and go, how much time do I realistically have with this? How does that play into how many of these animals I can realistically keep and not have to become stressed, not have to compromise my standard of care? Now, when one is coming up with his or her amount of time they want to devote to the hobby, I would look at, you know, daily, weekends, get an idea. I mean, this is what I have my own. I'll share my routine. During the school year, I usually get a box of about 1,000 crickets once a month on a Monday. So on a Monday after school, I run and grab the crickets. And then it usually takes me from that point on, I come home from work. It takes me about an hour and a half, 2 hours for 3 or 4 days to make it most of the way or all the way around the room. I start with basically the spiders who just molted. I have a list of the ones who just molted. I'm trying to fatten up. They all get fed first. And I start at one end of the room and I work my way all the way around. And usually by about Thursday, I've gone all the way around the room and fed everybody. And then from that point on, it's a little more, it used to be, I'd go back around the room again. I did this for many, many years. You go around the room once, you go on, it's taken, you know, 4 or 5 days, take a couple days off, do it again. Now it's usually 3 or 4 days. Sometimes I'll do it a few days if something pops up. I know I have Saturday to do it, although Saturday is usually when I do videos and such. Obviously Sundays I do podcasts usually. So I try to leave those off limits, but obviously I do some feeding on Saturday and Sundays as well. So that's usually my normal routine during the school year. And then what I will do is I kind of spot check. I'm up here all the time anyway. So I'm always running around with a flashlight, checking, seeing who molted, seeing who might need a change. Sometimes you look in there and you see one of those mushrooms growing up that you want to pluck out. Things of that nature. So you're talking, I don't know, 7 or so hours during the actual work week. And then I have my weekends for doing rehousings and videos and stuff of that nature. In the summer, I obviously have all the time in the world. I don't like leaving the house in the summertime. And the place that I get crickets from is right near my work. And I hate driving up towards work during my off time. So usually during the summer, I have a B. lateralis colony. But by that point, I'm getting all these males maturing, hundreds of mature males. So I'm usually feeding those out and using my B. dubia so I don't have to go out and get crickets. So it's usually crickets during the school year, B. dubia and some B. lateralis during the summer. And the summer, obviously, with as much time as I have, it's not an issue. I need to really look at the time I spend during my work week. And the problem with this is, and this is where you can sometimes run a trap, you don't want to fill that time with like, all right, technically speaking, I have 20 hours to devote to this during the work week. We'll just go with a ridiculous high number. I'll spend all my free time doing this. Keep in mind, you want to leave yourself some wiggle room. You leave yourself some wiggle room as your collection continues to grow, because obviously as you need to add new animals, it's going to add more time to it. And you have to leave some wiggle room for life. You don't want to be in a situation. Then this is kind of what happened to me when I got all those slings. I had a good form, a good routine down. Everything was looking good. It didn't stress me. I would come home, do my feedings, blah, blah, blah. I got those slings in. It was toward the end of the school year, and suddenly there wasn't enough time. Life can and will interrupt. There's going to be things that, you know, work, family, things that pop up, the health issues. I've had people tell me, you know, I got sick for 2 weeks and couldn't do anything. Now I'm behind. I'm freaking out. Leave yourself room when you come up with this routine. Look at what's your, you know, this is what I want to devote to it, but I'm leaving myself some room in case, you know, God forbid, plan ahead. Plan like you're going to not be able to take care of them for a week. How would that impact things? Plan that you're going to have to work overtime. With teaching, I obviously have times of the year where I'm working much harder at school, bringing work home, correcting, doing reports, grading, whatever it may be. I have to plan that that's going to happen certain times of the year. So you want to leave yourself, when you're coming up with your schedule, you want to leave yourself that wiggle room, that time to go, all right, maybe you're going to lay it out in a way that you're going to say, I'm going to work only on the weekends. That's fine, but make sure you don't have it become something where you're spending your entire Saturday feeding spiders. I remember somebody contacting me years ago saying he had amassed a large collection, and he goes, am I wrong in thinking it's starting to sap the joy out of the hobby for me because I feel like I have a rough week at work, I come home, and my entire Saturday is spent doing spider stuff. He goes, which was fun at first, but now I have other things I like to do, other hobbies I'm not being able to pursue because this is taking up all my time. And that's when, this hobby, spiders should be a stress reliever. They shouldn't be part of the stress. When they're becoming part of the stress, you have an issue. I've had people before ask, you know, what is your routine? How do you set your routine? How much time do you set aside for it? And I try to tell them there's different ways to do it. There's the weekend approach. There's a lot of us like to be in there every single night. So you plan for it. Like how long do I want to spend each day after work? How long would be a comfortable amount of time? I know for me, we go home, we walk the dogs. After that, I go up, I can spend an hour and a half up here. Usually by that point, dinner's ready. And then I'm doing nothing after dinner. At dinner is when I sit down with the family, relax. We watch some TV, hang out, whatever it may be. But those are my boundaries. That's where I want to work. And then when you set these boundaries, when you come up with your routine, you get an idea of what your schedule is going to be. And I do encourage people sometimes to make like a little calendar at first just to kind of show how much time they're spending on it. Just to kind of, because what happens is when you start amassing too many, if you have the routine set, you have a nice firm routine, you're sticking by it. What happens is as you're picking more and more, you're going to see yourself starting to go outside of the boundaries of that schedule, outside of the boundaries of those routines. You're going to see one of two things are going to happen. You're going to spend more time working with your spiders, which for some people may be okay, or you're going to spend less time working with your spiders, and you're going to start basically becoming more lax on trying to keep up with that standard of care you set. And either one of those is an indication that you need to stop, reflect, and figure out, is this okay? Am I comfortable with the fact that it is now I usually spend a half hour after work working with spiders? Now I'm spending an hour after work working with spiders. For some people, it might be that's okay. I think a lot of us, we start to kind of, all right, I'm spending a little more time, but it's working great. For others, you may find yourself going, hey, you know what? I haven't had time to, I don't know, play video games. I haven't had time to watch a movie. I haven't had as much time to play with my kids. I haven't as much time to pursue other things, and it might not be okay. And that's where you should be. It allows you to kind of check yourself. It allows you to kind of go, all right, you know what? I'm realizing now that I am spending a bit more time than I'm comfortable with, or it's getting to the point where it's getting more stressful. In that case, it's time to stop there. You need to stop purchasing spiders. You need to grow some of them up. The good thing with tarantulas is, or good thing with mature males especially, is that a lot of folks will find you'll get a mature male. You either send them off, in which case that's done. That area is clear. You now have more room for another spider, or you decide to keep it, which is fine. The tarantula eventually dies off, and then you have more room. And that's when you add more. I had a point recently where I had a bunch of I picked up a lot of huntsman spiders and true spiders around the same time period. And now there's been, you know, two and a half, three years, a lot of them are dying off, which was depressing and sad because I love them, but it also opened up more room to get more spiders. That's when I make my move. At that point, and you'll hear me say periodically, yeah, that's somebody, you know, tell me these are in, but I don't have any room. That's because I've gotten really good over the years at recognizing what my threshold is, how many I can keep and be comfortable with and not be stressed, and recognize when it's time to buy more and when I should probably hold off. I'll tell you, I get those emails, the same as probably many of you do. We're having a 25% off sale. We're having a 30% off sale. We've got a new import coming in. It is very difficult sometimes not to open those up and go crazy and buy a bunch of them. But then I look up right now, I just picked up, I think, 4 new slings. So I think total, in my sling area, I have about 15 slings or so, maybe 20 slings. Some of them are getting older. They're kind of juveniles. That's good enough for me. I know that slings take more time, that I do continue to feed most of my slings twice a week now. I check on them more often. I make sure they're, you know, more, they have the moisture they need. That's going to require more time, so I know where my threshold is. So that's the trick to it. When you set that routine, you have your routine nailed. I'm sticking by this. I do encourage people sometimes to write it down and have, like, a lot of folks are, they create little tarantula journals, which I think is amazing, where they talk about, you know, tracking their molts. That's important. Tracking your feedings, tracking, you know, when they need to rehouse, all that stuff. That's very important because it gives you something tangible, something that you can look at and go, this is what I want to do. This is how often I want to do this. Now, what kind of time do I need? So when you find yourself getting to the point where you're spending a lot more time than you're comfortable with, when you find yourself, or if you find yourself the other way, and this is where people end up with dead spiders, you find yourself going, all right, I have a lot more spiders, so I'm spending, you know, a lot less time with the stuff I was doing before. I'm not feeding them as often. I'm forgetting to add moisture as often. I'm not doing the rehouses. They're in tiny little enclosures. Both of those are indications, and it should be something that you pick up on before it gets too bad, that things are starting to get out of control. The trick is figuring out before you're in a situation where it's, oh God, I now have 150 spiders. It's taking up all my time. They're dropping like flies. I don't know what I did. That's when it's kind of too late. That's when the cat's out of the bag. That's when kind of the horses are out of the stable, and you're going to basically be doing damage control at that point, trying to fix things. And usually what happens to people to get to that point, they leave, a lot of them leave the hobby. I've spoken to many people over the years that have offered me their collections. They're like, hey, Tom, I got in the hobby. I think I got in too far, too fast. I had some things change in my life. I don't have the time to keep them now. I have a bunch of them dying off. I can't give them the care I want. Would you be interested in taking them? And that's always sad to hear because it's, I think the hobby, because of the fact they are so easy to care for. There's so many good things here that if somebody maintains control, doesn't find themselves overextending themselves, there's a lot of longevity in this hobby for people. I mean, some of the species we pick up, as we've already established when we're talking like about a Phaenopelmus, can take decades to grow up. So this is something that if you maintain it, if you make sure you keep those routines, if you're careful and don't find yourself in a situation where you've bought too many too fast, a lot of folks, I just spoke to somebody the other day that got their first in the 90s and has been keeping consistently through that entire time. That's impressive. So I think if played right, you should have no problem making sure you don't find yourself in a situation where you have too many and you're scrambling. And then I think one thing that comes out is if you do find yourself in that situation where they're stressed out, you're about to have a lot more stress because I've seen this happen many times before. Somebody gets too many spiders. It drains the fun of the hobby. They decide, I need to get rid of these. And then next thing you know, they're like, I need to sell my collection. Here's what I'm offering. And they come up with these super high prices, or even what, in some cases, they're not even high prices. They're just what people would normally spend from a dealer. And then they come to the kind of horrific realization that it's difficult to get rid of a bunch of spiders, especially if you're trying to get money back for them. And even when you're giving them away, I've had people tell me, I can't even give these things away. I know a lot of folks like to sit there and go, oh, I have a female this, it's worth $400. Well, it's worth whatever you can get for it. And I have been privy to many situations over the years of people trying to sell off their collection for a very reasonable amount of money, and they don't get a reasonable amount of money for it. Some of them end up just selling it in bulk to a dealer that's interested maybe in breeding and pairing some of the females or using some of the species they have. Some are able to give them away. Know that it's not easy to get rid of spiders once you have them, especially if you don't have a lot of people close by. Obviously, if you're in a place where there's a lot of hobbyists around that you get within driving distance, that makes things much easier because you just meet up. They don't have to pay shipping. But when you're talking about sending these things off, packing them up, paying shipping, you're not going to get the same shipping costs the dealers do. They do a lot of, you know, work with FedEx and therefore get discounts. You're going to find yourself in a very tough situation trying to get rid of them. And I've had many, many stressed out keepers contact me desperate to get rid of their collections, and they're not able to. So please keep that in mind. I know in the past, I think in the last podcast I did, what happens when you find out that you have too many, I mentioned the fact that you could probably sell some of them off, but it's not as easy as you would think. I've actually even encouraged people, and I had one guy get really mad at me that, hey, if you really care about these animals, you're not able to give them the care you need. You're not going to get anywhere near what you want for them or what you paid for them. Maybe find some people that, you know, you pay shipping, I'll send them to you. And he was like, well, I'm not doing that. I spent a lot of the money. Well, that's, maybe we shouldn't have found ourselves in this position. But again, I get it. I do get it. So this is why I think my homework to folks out there, there's a lot of, I've been contacted by a lot of folks out there that are just getting back into the hobby or getting into the hobby, and they're listening to these. Do yourself a favor now and start giving some thought to these. Don't be like myself as an example. I like I said, I've gotten here before, and many other keepers. Don't get to the point where you realize, oh gosh, I've screwed up. I have too many. Figure out what is your standard of care going to be. How often are you going to feed them? When are you going to do the cleaning? What are you going to keep? Are you moisture-dependent species? You're not moisture-dependent species. Do all that. Consider your routines. What are you going to be doing? What is your care routine going to be? When are you going to pull boluses? When are you going to feed? When are you going to water? Are you going to do feeding once a month, in which case you may have to do watering in between? Figure all that out. Sit down and give a look-see of what type of free time you have, and then figure out what are you willing to devote toward this hobby. I think setting those limits, coming up with those routines, setting those limits is crucial, because I think a lot of us, even doing this, are going to come to that point where you go, uh-oh, I think I might have hit the limit. I think I might be over my limit. It's better to figure that out sooner than later. And if you do these things, you get these things set up, it becomes, when you start realizing, hey, I used to set 3 nights a week aside to do tarantulas, now I'm doing 4 nights a week. That's tangible. That's something you can look at and go, I'm taking an extra day. I used to leave my Saturdays open because I wanted to go golfing. I had to cancel a couple times because I had so many rehousings to do. That's something you can look at. So that's, I think, the trick, is to try to catch it before it happens. And then as you start building your collection, I implore people, I know part of the nature of this, and we didn't mention this earlier in the podcast, is the fact that with shipping, the fact that a lot of us buy these online, it does behoove us to try to buy as many as we can to kind of spread out the shipping a bit, make it more, you know, $50 shipping for one spider, kind of exorbitant. $50 shipping for 3, 4, 5, you're spreading it out a bit. I think that's another thing that gets us in this trap. I know that back in the day, I always tried to go around and shop and find, all right, here's the species I'm looking for. Who has the majority of these so that I can get them all at once? And that's when you end up getting these bigger shipments. I had somebody brag to me once that they got in, I think it was 30-something slings at the same time. That's a huge jump. You want to get a good enough bang for your buck, but you don't want to overdo it. So be careful when those sales go around, because it doesn't take long. I've had people that have put themselves over the edge with a single purchase. You don't want to do that. Make that wish list. Keep that wish list handy. We all have our wish lists. I used to have mine all written down, typed down, and I'd actually do a wish list with a list of the dealers I'd buy from, and then I'd have like who had it and everything. It was pretty extravagant back in the day. I rarely went all out, but have that wish list ready, but also in the back of your mind, recognize, where am I at in my collection? So before you buy any new ones, you should be asking yourself, how much time is this going to add? How much space do I have? That's another whole argument unto itself that I have a lot of people that end up the situation where they buy a bunch of slings and all of a sudden the slings get grown up and they're like, where am I going to put all these? That's another situation you want to be careful of. So you want to ask yourself, how much time do I have to put toward these? How much more time are these new acquisitions going to take? You want to ask yourself, do I have the room for these new acquisitions when they're grown up? And if the answer to either of these questions is no, then you need to take a step back. I think it's tricky, and I get it. I'm sitting here in a room full of 250 of these and 250 animals. I get it. I get how addictive it can be, but I can say that after that initial incident with those slings, I did a reboot. I was much more careful. I have turned down so many species that I wanted desperately that I can't tell you how many times, like, I'll put something out there, like, I'd really love to get one of these, and somebody like, hey, this person has them in, and I have to be like, no, I can't. I'm gonna have to miss out on, because I don't have the room right now. I'm at that point where I don't have the time for anymore. And the other thing is, like, on my end, I do the videos and the podcast, which takes a lot of my time. And it's one of those deals where it's like, I love doing it, and as long as I still love doing it, I'm going to continue to do it. But you're talking about the filming the video, editing the video, several hours there, answering comments on YouTube takes a long time. A lot of times I'm sitting up here for, an hour and a half, 2 hours, going through all the comments on it. The podcast, I spent, just to give you an idea with the podcast yesterday, I spent about an hour and a half going through notes, taking notes on it, going through different ideas. And then I sit down and it takes me an hour and a half or so, 2 hours to get it recorded. That's all stuff that takes time for me. So unless I want to get rid of that stuff, and that's happened before, that's some of those days, months where I disappear and I don't do YouTube videos for a while, or, you know, I skip a week on a podcast. Sometimes that's just school was kicking my butt and I can either sit there and spend time with and enjoy my tarantulas or do this stuff. And guess what I'm going to choose every single time? It's going to be the spiders. So that's something that I have to go through. Luckily, a lot of people don't have to do that, but you do have to set those routines. You do have to set those limits, and you have to recognize when you're going over those limits and process and think about whether or not you're comfortable doing so. Maybe you sit there and go, hey, you know what? It's taking me an extra 2 hours a week, but I love it. Then you're good. If you're sitting there, if you're ever getting to the point, and it usually starts slowly. So it's not like for most people, it's not all of a sudden, oh my God, what have I done? I am so stressed out by these tarantulas. It's little by little. Hey, oh man, I got to go home tonight and feed. Ugh, really don't feel like doing that. That's the point where you need to stop yourself and go, okay, wait a minute. Next time I get one of those emails in with some tarantula species that are on sale, I need to just put it right in the freaking garbage and not read it because I can't get any more. And then always remember that with keeping animals, some of them are going to die off from old age. You're going to send off males to molt. Those are the times you use. Make those times extra special. Those are the times you're going to use to build your collection back up a little bit. You're going to get rid of a couple adults. That opens up some space, but that doesn't mean, you know, I got rid of, I've heard this before too. I had 4 adults die, so I picked up 15 slings. That doesn't work that way. Those slings are now going to require adult enclosures at some point. You want to make sure you have the right room for it. But it's tricky, and I would freely admit it, and I've gone through it. I know a lot of you have gone through it, and it's something that's, you know, kind of one of the darker sides of the hobby because of how close we can come sometimes to going from just keeping pets to almost hoarding. We've all seen it, you know, the YouTube videos. I remember back in the day, there was a couple of YouTubers that were kind of blown up pretty big, and they were constantly doing unboxing videos. And then people would go, hey, can you give me an update on this? And it would, if they answered, it would be, oh yeah, that one unfortunately died. I don't know what happened. And they were just getting more and more creatures, and things were dropping like flies. And luckily both of them disappeared. So I'm assuming they probably got rid of their pets and moved on, which was great because it was difficult to watch knowing and recognizing that they were basically just picking up these boxes, getting free stuff, opening up. Oh my God, look at this amazing animal. It's so cute. They'd set it on a shelf and then it would be dead in a couple months. So that's sadly, I think that's one of the things that gets people into them. People love watching the unboxing videos. I do unboxing videos. I get it. People love watching them. But when you watch an unboxing video, what ends up happening? A lot of people go out and then they want to get their own box because it's fun to open. So it's a hobby rife with pitfalls in terms of crossing that line from having a healthy, well-maintained collection to essentially hoarding animals where you're not keeping them carefully. And that's at the end of the day, that's the thing you should be considering the most or giving the most thought to, is the fact that if you do go over the top and end up with too many, A, it's causing you stress, but I would say even more importantly, it's probably causing your animals stress, and it could be causing your animals to suffer needlessly. So very important for anybody. And I would love to hear from, I always do this and I get a handful of things back, but I would love to hear from folks, like, what do you do to make sure, what are your tips and tricks for making sure you don't go over? I know some folks have like a significant other that is the one to be like, all right, you're done, which is great. As long as it's not going to turn into a situation where it's going to cause friction, that's fantastic. But what are you doing to make sure you don't go over? And then for people who are just getting into the hobby, here's your wake-up call. Here's your warning. Be careful because it, you know, it's maybe something you're looking at right now. And I've had people tell me, yep, I know for a fact I'm only going to have 2 or 3. And that's great if you can stick to it. But a lot of people start like that. Like, you know, back in the day, I said I was only going to have 30. Obviously, that didn't pan out. But I'd like to think that over the years, I've always managed to maintain that level of care. And the problem with me, and I didn't mention this in the other one, I did maintain my level of care. But because it was taking so much extra time, it took a toll on me. And it was starting to sap the fun out of the hobby. So that's something you got to be very careful about. So please feel free to chime in and let me know what you're doing. What are some tips and tricks? I would love to share them in the next podcast. That's it for me for this one. My voice managed to hold out almost. I need a glass of water desperately. I'm dying here. But again, you can find me on thomasbigspiders.com. You can find me on thomasbigspiders.com. the podcast. You can find me on YouTube. Hopefully I'll get a YouTube video out today or tomorrow. Probably be a short. One of my students have picked up a G Polkerbees and he's been asking me for an update on mine because he's so excited with his. I guess it's molted twice in like 6 months. So his is really growing quick, but I may do something on G Polkerbees. We'll see how it goes. Guys, that'll do it for this one. As always, stay safe and we'll catch you all next time.